KRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, everybody. This is Kenny Ennie. I'm back. I'm sitting here. I'm in the captain's chair because
I know,
Darsha is usually late.
I was early today.
Which is still late.
And you've got...
If you're not...
Now, wait a minute.
If you're on time, you're late. That's the way the saying goes.
Just for the record, I was here at 12:10.
Not in that seat.
12:18.
So I'm at the controls today. So if somebody gets disconnected, I take full
responsibility. And he's in a feisty mood, let me tell you.
I am in a bad mood. I was telling Darsha about my last Friday, why I wasn't here last Friday. But so I probably should start off by reminding everybody that my opinions are my own opinions. they certainly don't have anything to do to reflect the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District or anything else. So,
well, I
don't think I share any opinions right now with the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District.
I've been told that I'm sowing seeds of doubt and misinformation, which is exactly why I created the, with some help, thank you, Maria and James, the banner that is like Miss California or Miss whatever, it says misinformation. So I wear that from time to time. I might have to bring it back
out.
Do
you have your conspiracy shirt on underneath that?
I could. Yeah. I really could. I've been wearing that. I did wear that.
I know. She usually wears it. But anyways, happy Friday. Yeah, last Friday I started the Friday out. I went to one of the schools, and there was supposed to be a celebration for America's 250th.
Quincentennial.
It's not quincentennial.
Okay, what is it?
It's semi-quincentennial. But anyways, it this whole America 250th thing is near and dear to my heart. It's just been so frustrating to me in the school district. Last July 8th, I asked the district staff to come up with a plan for to celebrate America's 250th. And I got, the RCA dog look from most of the staff. You had Sandra Williams that was opposed to it because she said people would be offended. You had Erin Haley, who acted like she didn't know what we were supposed to be doing. But eventually it was approved, and we wanted it to come back as an information item. And I said, well, when is that going to happen? I said, it should happen before the beginning of the school year. Oh, it'll happen in September. Well, September, October, November, no information item. So I bring it back up. Oh, yeah, we're getting on it. So December, nothing. So finally... January, I have to start asking the community to help me out because there's nothing. I write a resolution to provide to the staff. And they finally look at me and are like, oh, you're serious about this? And when they put their list of resources together, because, one of the objections or concerns of Sandra Williams and other board members is that, they didn't want it to be about dead white people. So I'm like, all right, that's a fair. I mean, you had a lot of African Americans. You had a regiment out of Rhode Island that was African. Crispus Atkins was one of the first patriots killed at the Boston Tea Party. So I'm all about putting that in there. You've got Don Bernardo, who was the Spanish governor in the Louisiana territories that, basically defeated the British in Pensacola and captured British forces to make sure that after Yorktown, the defeat of Cornwallis at Yorktown. So I put all that, I gave them all these resources. And what do they do to celebrate, accomplishments of African Americans? They have a page on Michelle Obama. That's what they put in there. They had Serena Williams. I mean, it was a pop culture mindset. And that was the issue I had. There was no discussion of, you know, Harriet Tubman or
actual history,
George Washington Carver or any of the people that, you know, helped basically, create the civil rights movement. Michelle Obama, that's who they came up with. When they looked
at... Well, there'll be more on that later.
When they looked at the Latinos, they didn't even have Americans in there. They had I forgot the singer's name from Colombia. Pop singer from Colombia was listed. I mean, stuff like that. So, kicking and screaming, we get them to do the resolution, and nothing happens. I ask my friends in the school district, you guys doing anything for the 250th? Nope. So I bring it up at the board meeting about 6 weeks ago, and Mrs. Loftus kind of looks at me, and, you know, there's the record scratch in the background, and, she starts calling around, and there are a couple schools that I think, you know, sincerely made an effort. Liberty. They'd been doing something.
I heard they were singing some songs.
Well, you know, the one that I went to, again, was disappointing. It was basically a 15-minute assembly that was scheduled anyways. They had a teacher sing the national anthem, and then the kids all sang Happy Birthday, America. And the teachers played some games. And that was it. That was what they rated for, that's what the country rated. But we got a presentation. Glenn Speck, they got 250th celebration was integrated into the open house. Pat Butler, students are writing birthday cards to America writing one thing students love about their country. And this was the other thing that kind of bothered me. I'm not going to name the school or anything, but the they had some students stand up at the school I went to and say, this is what we love about America. And it was free school, free lunch. So that was their big takeaway. You had Georgia Brown hosted a Happy Birthday America assembly. But what's not in here is the high school, which really kind of bothers me. And my understanding is at the high school, and I've heard this from teachers around the district, that a lot of the PRPE union teachers are opposed to celebrating the 250th because they think it's political. And
they're free to leave.
And
unlike a lot of the countries in this,
that's going to be sort of my theme on my rant for the next few minutes, but. If you are afraid to celebrate the nation, if you're not even willing to find common ground with your community on celebrating America, I would question whether you should be involved in education. And I've looked around, and this seems to be a common theme in California. You've had multiple school districts around the state where there was a California Post article where there were protests against the 250th. You had schools that were trying to do assemblies.
Is this against the May 17th rededication of our country to God, or is this
no,
just
this is about
250th?
This is just the 250th. That boggles my mind, frankly. But, you know, when I look at what's going on here in our local community, and I look at, you know, the fact that the school district's going to ask for another $400 million from the taxpayers. And you have a teachers union that basically refuses to celebrate America's 250th birthday. I don't think taxpayers should be forced to bankroll silence. And the teachers may be arguing that, you know, we're maintaining neutrality, but celebrating the country is not partisan. It's part of basic education. It's part of basic civic literacy.
But we stopped teaching civics in the 90s.
Well, yeah, but those kids that protested in February.
Exactly. That's where that I was
the,
going,
that
Kenny.
The teachers encouraged to protest against America. They're going to get little civic cords for going out and exercising, I'm using my air quotes, their First Amendment rights. So, you know, when you look at, you know, parents and property owners that are already, you know, basically getting crushed by their tax burden, do you really want to give a school district more money? And I'm speaking here as Kenny Enney. Again, these are my own opinions. But I have insight and knowledge as to the daily workings of what's going on. And it, you know, as a veteran, as a patriot, you know, as someone who's encouraged his son to go into the military and defend this nation, I find this behavior offensive. And I think the community needs to know about this. They're basically, they're ghosting the 250th birthday at that high school. And they're gonna celebrate walkouts and things like that. This leads to the other, you know, so that's how my Friday started out. And then I went over and I spoke for a few minutes at the Best of the West show, which was awesome. The Farm Bureau did a pretty good job with their barbecue. I'm going to tease him, but the guy barbecuing, Paul Clark, I think he wasn't using oak. That's a private joke that he'll probably get. But
did a nice job on the Easter morning.
But I went over to that, and I talked to Mark Perry, who was the one that invited me to speak, and I gave him a list of Paso Roblins who were killed in action during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. And right now, as part of, you know, there's a group that's basically, there was an article that was put out and there was a presentation that was given to the school board back in December and that was brought back this past Tuesday night, looking at redoing the war memorial dedication. And, you know,
And that's at the stadium.
And that's at the high stadium, which is Paso Robles Joint Unified School District property. Mm-hmm. So taxpayer property. And I had provided this list of Vietnam and Korean War veterans to the school district because I think they should be added. Especially, I have to admit, I don't know whether they are Paso Robles High School grads. According to Mrs. Loftus, two of these individuals have been confirmed as Paso Robles High School grads. But the district doesn't want to put their names on the plaque. Now, they're pointing the finger at the Lions Club. So if you're in the Lions Club, because the Lions Club first put this plaque up in 1948. Now, 1948 was 2 years before the Korean War started, and it was 12 years before there was U.S. involvement in Vietnam.
So they probably didn't know who was going to be involved.
Right. In and I think if they only wanted it to be dedicated to the 12 who died, the 12 who died in World War II, they would have probably called it the World War II. War Memorial, not the War Memorial. They at least had enough foresight to understand that there's always going to be a next war. And so, this is a big issue for me because, again, this is an easy one, just like the 250th was an easy one. And why was there so much pushback in celebrating the 250th? Why is there so much pushback in adding the names? You know, it's six names that I've found. And again, I'm not sure if they all went to Paso Robles High. And if they did, and that's the criteria we want to set, that's fine. But if they went to Paso Robles High and they died in defense of this nation, I think their names should be added. And I'm gonna read these off because I did the research over the last couple of weeks and it's pretty.
And then if anyone
pretty impressive
knows,
military records.
Anyone knows the families or, let's get together a group of people
help me find,
4th.
Yeah, help me find out if these guys were Paso grads or not. But there was 1st Lieutenant Marion L. Ailes. He was captured during the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir, which for any historians know, that was a pretty dramatic battle. And he was captured, died in captivity. And his body, one of these guys, was repatriated in 2017, and I think it was Ailes. He died in captivity in a Chinese prisoner of war camp. Corporal Edward Poole, also listed as from Paso Robles. His remains were identified in 2017 and returned by the Chinese. Same, that would have been the year that Trump was being friendly with Kim Jong-un. But again, he was captured and at the Chosin Reservoir and died in captivity. Then you go to the Vietnam War. Vietnam War, you have Lieutenant Curtis Henry Hopper, or Cropper, rather, Navy fighter pilot. He was backseater, radar intercept officer. I believe the Boy Scout building on, I think that's Oak Street. I can't remember which street that's on. I think it's named after him. But he went to high school here. He was killed in a... He was shot down in 1970. You had Robert Risley Fryer. He was killed in the Army. He was an infantryman with the 25th Infantry Division. Died January 7th, 1968. Then you've got Captain James George Lee. He was a military advisor with the Military Assistance Command Vietnam. Killed in action October 28th, 1965. Then you've got Specialist 4th Class Kenneth Dale Schwartz. He was assigned to the 25th Infantry Division. Died April 15th, 1968. 20 years old. A couple of these guys were 19 and 20 years old. This guy Schwartz was awarded the Silver Star, third highest award for valor. I would love for somebody to explain to me if there really is opposition in this town to adding these names to the war memorial. I would love to have them call in and explain this to me, but I have to be honest. I am so concerned about the opposition to America in our school district. I have to think that maybe there's opposition to adding these names because the left teachers union doesn't like the fact that they fought a war against communism. And when you look at PRPE and its affiliation with groups like California Teachers Association and Crazy Weingarten at the American Federation of Teachers. They're supporting Tom Steyer. That's who the teachers union is are supporting in California. They are anti-American. And I think people really need to think about where their tax dollars are going. Now, again, when you get to a bond measure and you look at the bond, money is fungible. You know, I would encourage
it's
everybody.
The economy, stupid. It affects everyone.
Yeah. But if we give them four, you know, we're really giving them $205 million, but it's going to cost
$400 million.
Yeah, well, it's going to cost us $400 million, but we're going to give them $205 million for things that they may do. But that money is going to go towards things like if you look at the budget. Last year, we spent over $5 million on maintenance. This year, we've budgeted only $143,834. That's how much is budgeted this year. The intent is that that money from that bond measure is going to go towards covering maintenance, which will free up, let's say, just $5.8 million a year. So what is that money going to go to? I would encourage everybody to go and look through the LCAP. You've got $1.4 million going to meet the long-term English learner needs. Not $800,000 going to support bilingual families. $2 million for hygiene products, school supplies, backpacks for students. And then you got $50,000 basically going to the new version of DEI. So think about this bond measure. All right, back in a minute.
And when we come back after the break, I have some interesting news on IRS, and we'll also be talking about some of the settlements.
All right. Caller, if you can call back, we'll be right back.
Yep.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
We're back.
Good thing we have quality control here.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we got a caller. We'll go right to the caller. Happy Friday, caller.
Open mic Friday.
Hi. I only heard a little bit of the program because we're getting ready to take a trip and we're loading up. But I had a friend.
We lost you. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello.
You can hear me?
All right. Sorry. Call back. We can't
call back in. We heard part about the trip, and then it cut out.
Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Kenny. I have two questions, and I know you know the answer to.
Can anyone hear us?
I don't think. Can you hear me okay?
Hello?
Oh, you're talking to me.
There we go. Now we can hear you.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I have two questions for Kenny, and I think he knows the answer, but I don't think the public does. Back when they had the COVID money, they were afraid of going over the 10% on surplus. So Brad put in a line item called deferred maintenance. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Well, now they're saying they don't have enough money for maintenance. Now, my question is, two questions. What happened to all that funds that was put in for deferred maintenance? And then thirdly, why is the surplus way down again?
Well, the surplus, if I remember from the presentation on Tuesday night, we're at a...
That's called a reserve,
well,
by the way.
Reserve, yes. If we call it
it's
surplus...
It's rarely a surplus.
Yeah, when we call it a surplus, people want it. So it's a reserve. But the if I remember, it was 11% is what they said the reserve was.
The maximum. Yeah, okay.
Well, no, the maximum, I think, right now is up to 15% because the state of California...
Raise it from 10 to 15.
Yes, sir.
But I assure you, there are not many of the school boards are residing over budgets that have less than 3% in their reserves, which is alarming.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah, but why are we spending some of that reserve to take care of the maintenance?
It's an excellent question. I don't have an answer for you, honestly.
And what happened to these deferred maintenance line items?
Well, that's been dropped dramatically, and I asked the other night whether that meant... Because, again, we went from... If you go and you look at the budget that was presented the other night in 25-26... it was $5,829,450 was in the budget for 25-26. This year it's $143,000. So my question was, does that mean we did all of our maintenance and we're done? Is that why
it's no longer deferred?
Yeah, we've taken care of it. Why isn't it in there?
Great.
And
so now they're saying we got to pass the bond issue because everything's falling apart.
Yep. All right. So we got another call.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Bye. Thanks. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling again.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
We think it was a technical issue on our side.
It was Darsha's fault.
Okay. I wanted two of my friends to be remembered. I haven't been on because we're getting ready to leave on a little trip. So, Jardine and John Jardine, they were in World War and they were upset when Iverson was mayor. It used to be in the park downtown. They had a list of the veterans that served in World War One and World War Two, and they took it away. It was in the downtown park. But anyway, that's John Jardine and Bill Jardine. Veteran entered the Navy, and he said, I'm just a farm boy and I just like to hunt. So they put him on a ship with the guns on top of the ship, and he had to shoot down the Japanese planes. And he said when he shot down, he saw the guy coming down. When he went into the water, he shot him down. So I wanted them to be remembered, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay. And this is a conversation I think this community desperately needs to have, because I think anybody that gave their life, whether, you know, the people at the school district want to recognize them or not, that's public property. And I think it's the community's decision to decide who they want to honor, not the bureaucrats in the district office. But yes, ma'am, thank you.
Thanks for calling
in. Bye.
And one of the things, there was a story I'm going to let, of course, I'll let Kenny finish with this. He's still upset. But one of the studies that they did, I think it was after World War II, was they said, why were so many of these, it's usually Air Force, but some Navy, the fighter pilots, why were they so successful in being able to shoot down the aces? So they look at the aces, and so many of them, it was something like 85, 90% of them, came from small towns where they learned to hunt with their fathers, grandfathers, mothers, whomever. But they learned to hunt. They learned to take care of. They were resourceful. They were resilient. And they were the ones that were the most successful.
All right. We'll go to the long break. I got some texts that I'll respond to. Take questions on bond measures, budgets. Darsha's got a lot of stuff on election. You got Friday. You got Tuesday is primary day. So, but we will be back shortly.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.